you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Daily Pop. You guys, we have some breaking news to start off the day. Tiger Woods is responsive and recovering after yesterday's horrific car crash. Officials say his injuries are not life-threatening and alcohol was not involved. Here's what we know. So Tiger was involved in a single-vehicle car crash and had to be removed from his SUV. By the fire department. He underwent surgery for a shattered ankle and two leg fractures. Friends and family have released statements supporting Tiger. And his ex, Rachel Yucatel, says, "Wait for the facts before making judgments about what happened." With Tiger Woods, so much we know about him, and especially over the last documentary that just came out, whenever you heard about this, did you jump to conclusions?
Did you look immediately at me? Of course we did, because we do. It's a single car. What happened? And that's what people do. If you get any kind of bad press, we immediately jump to, and this wasn't about an affair, not about him having problems.
Yeah.
We immediately jump to, oh, it was probably his fault. We don't know that. He could have been texting. It could have been going too fast. It could have been someone else's fault. We don't know. Thank God he is okay. Mm-hmm. But immediately society goes straight to, because he's an athlete, he's a star. But what really concerns me and bothered me personally is that last year we started off with this same image with Kobe Bryant.
Aww.
A big celebrity, a crash. Yeah. So it's, you know, a PTSD. As soon as I saw it, it just hit
me. Took you back.
It was bad. So I'm glad that he is okay.
Yeah, me too.
By the way, it definitely didn't cross my mind at all. You know, I feel like after watching the Tiger documentary and seeing what he has been through in his life, there's something that happens to people when their kids get to a certain age where they can understand someone's trials and tribulations that makes someone straighten their act up. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, when your kids can read about it or they can find out about it at school, because we all knew what happened in the past, I just don't think that he would do that to his kids right now. And I think that's mainly because he had a disappointing dad. His dad disappointed him and let him down in life. So I don't think that he would put that on his kids like that. Don't you agree?
I mean, it was early in the morning. He was playing golf. Right. But you're right. I don't think... But does anyone intentionally get into an accident?
Right. No. I'm just saying, you know how in the past,
right,
you know, if something like this would happen, we'd be like, oh, there he goes again. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I feel like in this country, and I hate to say this, you know, we say this all the time. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a thief, always a thief. Once a criminal, always a criminal. We have a hard time giving people second chances and giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I will say I felt a lot of love for him on social media yesterday.
Oh, good.
I felt like there was a lot more just, man, I hope he's okay.
Yes.
More than anything, instead of like less accusations. I thought it was nice of Rachel to say that, because he has been a victim of the media jumping to conclusions.
But Rachel shouldn't. I'm sorry to cut you off, Krista, but I feel like Rachel, sit down somewhere.
It wasn't your place.
It's not your place. Nobody wants to see you. I'd like to see the ex-wife. I'd like to see the kids say something. You know, maybe his family members. I don't want to see a side piece, an ex saying nothing. Don't bring any negativity around. You go sit down somewhere. No one cares what you're saying.
Sorry about that.
But I'm worried about his career. I mean, this is one of our greatest athletes of all time.
I think we give up the career. I think at this point, we shouldn't worry about the career. We should just be happy that this man walked out of this car and is conscious and is ready. Shout out to the people at Genesis. Y'all need to send me one of these trucks, honey, because he looks like he was safe. All 10 airbags, you know, deployed. I will say this, though. And I hate to say it because
I don't want to
put it out there. But with the way the media works now, everyone is always looking for that salacious headline.
Yeah.
If there was one inkling of any kind
of foul play, negative, or any trace
of something, that would have been the first thing that we would have found out about.
That's true.
I wouldn't give up so fast.
I was going to say, it's still real fresh,
and I would say just give it some time. Mm-hmm. People are still searching for that.
They're going to probably say, in the skid marks, oh, no, they're going to go and investigate.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he was texting, maybe the skid marks. Oh, they're going to come up with something. Maybe Rachel, that's why Rachel said something. She was probably distracting him.
Hey. They said, shut up.
Okay.
Well, okay, we're going to move on to actress Frances McDormand. So she just made this bold confession. She says she turned down interviews for 10 years, and she has good reason. The Oscar winner told the New York Times, "It gave me a mystery back to who I was and then the roles I performed. I could take an audience to a place where someone who sold watches or perfume and magazines could not."
The shade, honey. A little shady.
How do you pull that off? Talk to me, like with the studio, and say, I'm not going to do any interviews.
Well, that is interesting, but you know who was famous for that? Prince. That's what Prince did.
And that's why everybody loved him. He was so mysterious. He's one of the most mysterious unicorns ever. That's why I always say I miss the days of times when we didn't know every single thing about a celebrity. It's the reason why Tom Cruise came up and came up so hard. It's the reason why Julia Roberts has survived for so long, because they gave you that mystere. We didn't know about what they were eating, about what was in their refrigerators. We didn't know where they were on vacation.
But you also have to just remember that this was years ago. Was this 96 when she started this? Remember, we only had the rag magazines and we had the big magazines and television shows. We didn't have all of this social media. So now that's why everyone's putting everything out about what they do. And we're like, okay, enough already. I don't need to know, like you said, about the cereal. So I think it was brilliant.
Do you think there's still shame? Because to me, I don't care if I see a big celebrity selling coffee or a watch or on a magazine cover. It doesn't really lower their celebrity to me. I still value their art, and I don't mind seeing them in the movies. It doesn't distract me.
Yeah, but
do you think it does?
But there's an opposite. It's two sides to every story, because there are some actors who look down on other actors who can't get those endorsement deals, who aren't, you know, making that extra coin. But I think for Frances McDormand, this is about her craft, and she never wanted her craft to ever be, I don't want to say soiled, because it's not really soiled, but she didn't want to hawk white diamonds. But I'll hawk some white diamonds. I'm here for a check.
She wanted to be about the art and her choices in the character, because her first come out character was what, Fargo? That was a big deal. So in order for you to maintain that, you have to pick roles that bring that kind of heat and attention, or people, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, that's what she's doing, coffee now?
Ain't happening.
Nope. It's a struggle, but she had to do that.
Honey, I would hawk a tampon.
What?
Okay.
I'm about to hawk
this cup.
I'm about to hawk this cup.
That's what doesn't mind me. Do you ever have a hard time separating an actor from their commercials or who they really are?
Not anymore. I think because now there's so many, but the first ones had to take the heat that started.
Right.
For sure. Also, think about Meryl Streep. You never see Meryl on Instagram. You never see Meryl on a commercial. You don't see Meryl anywhere but when she's about to accept an Oscar. And it's because Meryl chose the path of Frances. There are very few actors that only do... Actually, there's a few actors that do only movies that will either A, you know, enrich your soul, or B, enrich your trophy case.
Like, it's like truly for the art, not for the money or the fame.
Exactly. Yes. But there, again, you can't be mad at somebody because they want to cash in on their success.
Yeah.
It's just different priorities.
And
I'm trying to get that money.
And you can't be mad at them because some celebrities, they got to make money.
Yeah.
Some have enough money. And Meryl Streep, she doesn't need the money. She's definitely doing it for the craft and for the art. and for the accolades.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's so, okay.
Look, I'm about to hawk this cup right here, Daily Pop. Y'all get your mug.
Come get it. We were signing them.
All right, you guys. So this one may bother you, okay? Friends fans, cover your ears because you may never be able to unhear this. This is going viral. A TikTok user noticed that Jennifer Aniston made the same throat-clearing sound almost every time she spoke on the show. Just watch if you want. So it's clearly a vocal tic. I've always noticed it on Rachel. The guy on TikTok thinks that she does this through all her shows. I haven't noticed it like on the morning show or in movies.
She has a different tic on the morning show.
Oh, wow.
See, I think it's a character tic, though. I think that that was something she put in to Rachel.
I think that was something she put in at the beginning of her career, and she was like, this is going to work now. Her character tics are now more subtle because she doesn't really need them in order to get into character anymore. I think that was part of, okay, this is going to be Rachel's thing. And a lot of times when you see actors early on in their careers, they have to actually give them like a red nose, like Rudolph. But once they get, you know, a little bit more experience, the character tics become fine and you can barely see them. Yeah. So I think this was because it was the beginning of her career.
And I believe it was part of her acting tic. Like her as, I don't know if it was a character choice, because what happens is you do things and you don't know until someone brings it up.
Yeah.
One of her friends or the director or something, it had to be a close friend. They're like, do you know you clear your throat? I do, because you're not watching, you know, it over and over again. You know, sometimes we don't even watch our shows. And then you say, you're clearing your throat. No, I'm not. Until you see this. I have a thing that I didn't realize that I do. And
what
I still
it?
Do it. I do.
In ramble. Middle, you
okay,
ramble.
I can't. In the middle of my lines, I go, so, you know, so we're going to go down the street and wow. I'm like, what is that?
Because I think in your head, I'm not an actress, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think in your head, you think back to like, what do you do when you're nervous? What do you do when you're relaxing? True. What do you do when you're in these uncomfortable situations? Mm-hmm. And you make, maybe you make these noises. And so you bring that into a character. But I guess as an actress, you have to be conscious of that so that you're not bringing that to every character.
Yeah, but somebody will tell you. And then you have to make a conscious effort not to do it. And you're like, just be in the character, oh say the God. Line. Don't you take a breath. Don't you clear your throat.
Don't you ramble.
Don't you ramble. That's on this show.
I like it. You keep doing you.
I love her. She can never get a break.
Yeah.
But it would have been worse. What if she'd been doing something else? At least it came out of her mouth and not of somewhere else. That would have been bad.
Good point. All right, coming up, Cardi B reveals her surprising problem with other celebrities. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cardi B just admitted she gets starstruck from other celebrities. She spoke with Mariah Carey over the phone for Interview Magazine. She says if their conversation were to have happened in person, quote, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eyes. That's how nervous I get around celebrities. And sometimes my head starts talking like, oh my God, I look stupid. I feel stupid. I'm dumb. Cardi B has such a huge personality. I was a little surprised that she gets shy ever.
You know, I don't think it's shy. I think she's actually scared that they won't accept her as another celebrity.
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. Because I think, if you think about Kelly Clarkson and also Jordan Sparks sat on the show and talked about how when they went to red carpets after winning American Idol, people would barely even acknowledge them. And I think for Cardi B, coming from not only the stripper pole, which, look, if I had it, honey, I would be shaking it. I would have put myself through, through Harvard.
True. I believe that is
But coming out, being a stripper, and also being on reality TV and being popular on Instagram, she doesn't think that she, that they think that she deserves to be where she is.
And some of them don't. It's the truth. She probably feels that way, that there is judgment in the industry.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think she does. I mean, she makes that, I think, pretty clear, because she's always tackling the haters on her Instagram to the point where I'm like, Cardi.
You're right.
You're rich.
Made it. It's
you're
over.
Successful. Ignore them. You don't have to, like, respond to everything they say about you.
Yeah, but that's IG haters. Imagine walking in a room with your peers and them not believing that you belong there.
That's a horrible feeling.
Because, I mean, come on. Can you imagine walking in a classroom and people saying, oh, my God, you don't belong here. Like, you aren't rich enough, or you aren't white enough, or you aren't this, or you aren't that. I just feel like it's that feeling. And I bet you she talked to Kim Kardashian about how when Kim Kardashian first started out in the industry and people thought she was famous for being famous and talentless, I'm pretty sure she had the same feeling, too. It's overwhelming.
And when you see certain celebrities that you have looked up to for years, and now you're actually having a conversation with them, you're eating with them, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Have you ever got starstruck?
Oh, yeah, it's a couple of them. If I probably saw John Travolta, I'd probably pass out. But I was very young, and I worked with Farrah Fawcett. And I'll never forget Farrah Fawcett, like Charlie's Angel. And I was on the set, and this is what I was told. Don't talk to her. Don't take a picture with her. Don't touch her. Stay away. They told me that.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't take it. I was like, that is Charlie's Angel right there. Farrah Fawcett. I couldn't take it. One time I caught her. I was just waiting in the cut.
She's like, yeah, I caught her.
Yeah, exactly. She was walking by, and I did like this. I was like, hi, how are you? I said, I'm Kim Willie. And I saw the person that told me. They were like, and they looked at me, and I was like, like that. I was like, hi, how are you? But my heart was beating, because I was like, okay, she's going to cuss me out.
Yeah.
The nicest person. We became great friends, all because I took a chance. I was so excited. I just wish I had more time.
We've talked about
that
so many times on this show, about how sometimes it's the people around these big names that make them look as though that they're this diva, whenever that may have not ever been something Farrah asked for, but whatever, the team created this drama around her to where you may have, if you wouldn't have took that chance, you may have walked away and been like, won't let you see her, won't let you even say hi, otherwise she will scream at you, because that's the impression they gave you.
And that's how the rumors go. And you know, Farrah, I'm not going to tell you what she said on this show, but she was mad. She was like, who told you that? I was like,
that guy over there, you're like, I'm so sorry I said hi.
Right.
Morgan Freeman was one. I did an interview with him for a red carpet. I can't remember the presidential, or that's what it was. Angel Has Fallen. I was at that carpet, and I remember, I don't think I asked him a question. I think I just spent 3 minutes telling him how amazing he was, and then I was like, amazing. He was like, they were like, he's got to go on, and I'm like, oh, wait, but by the way, tell me about the role or something, because I just am like, oh, I may never see Morgan Freeman again. This is my time to tell him how amazing he is and how much I love his work and all this stuff. And I did the same thing with George Strait. I just gushed and gushed and gushed until he was like, okay, you're clearly obsessed.
Oh,
what about you?
God.
Is there anyone that you have ever met that, because you interview all kinds
for
of
sure
people.
You know, mine's a little bit different, you know. Because you know, Cardi B tells Mariah Carey that she doesn't like to meet stars because she's sometimes disappointed by them, and I kind of sort of had the same situation. I was at this house party one time, and Colin Farrell walked in the door, and I called my best thotty girlfriend, and I was like, girl, put on your booty shorts. Get your ass over here. Colin Farrell is in the house. We're about to party. Yeah. Colin Farrell. And one of us is going to hook up with him. I know it. I can feel it in my bones. When I tell you this man was so boring, I could not even believe it. And not like boring, like not engaging, but like, he was like, hi, can I get a spritzer? And I'm like, oh my God, you're really not the dude who we all thought you were. He's like so subdued, so calm. I now found out that he is not as much of a party boy anymore.
Oh, good.
And you know, he was great, but disappointed.
You were like, I wanted to get wasted with you and make bad, terrible decisions that I could talk about for years.
My girlfriend just put 2 pounds of hair in her head that she didn't have when she woke up this morning. Like, we are going to party with you whether you like it or not.
Hilarious. Oh my gosh. All right, you guys. Up next, Laverne Cox talks to us about her new man and why she is not showing him off anytime soon. Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Laverne Cox shared her dating tips with us yesterday, and today she is telling me why you will never find her man on the gram, honey.
Check this out.
I love that you're doing the research and development right now with the younger man, so I gotta know, should I get myself a younger man?
It's really about what you're attracted to. I'm rarely attracted to men my age or older, and usually they're not attracted to me. I mean, if I'm being honest, I think you just have to be open, but there needs to be physical attraction, there's to be mental attraction,
yes.
And then a soul connection.
You're keeping it off of social, and I think it's so smart in the beginning of a relationship because you get to really, you know, invest in this person and get to know who they are and not have any outside people coming in and kind of disrupting this magical journey. Is that why you're keeping it, you know, from everybody? Or you just don't want nobody to see your hot-ass man?
There's a lot of reasons. And I think, like, I was very public with my last question. But, you know, it was a year into dating him. And I think I want to not have people scrutinizing him. And it's a beautiful, sacred thing. And it's lovely not having other people's, like, feedback. Because I don't care. This man makes me feel amazing and safe and seen and sexy and just... All the things.
Like a natural woman, honey. You make me feel like a natural woman.
Yes. I don't need a man to make me feel that way.
For more of Laverne's dating tips, check out the Laverne Cox Show every Thursday on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm telling you, it's a hit.
She's so sweet. I love her. All right. Well, Paris Hilton is kicking off today's Pop of Love. She and her new fiance, Carter Ream, celebrated their anniversary. Oh, they actually celebrate it every single month.
Yeah.
Carter joined his future wife and Ease, Hunter March, for the first episode of the This Is Paris podcast. Listen to what happened the one time Carter missed an anniversary.
I skipped the seventh month
because
I was thinking, and she comes downstairs and she goes, "Are you kidding me? Not even a card?" And that's when I knew this was going to be serious and I was going to be a helpless romantic with Paris for the rest of my life. And it was going to be on a monthly basis, not every other month.
So you're still doing monthly?
I am doing monthly until she tells me otherwise, which I think might be never.
Yeah, and now we have another one, February 13th, because that was the engagement.
Holy crap. So once they're married, they'll have 14 anniversaries to celebrate each year. Oh. A little overkill for me, man. That's exhausting.
You know what? I think most people 14? Call it date night. Oh. You know what I mean? Oh, like once a month, you go to dinner and you like gush over each other.
But she wants more than that. She wants a card. She wants a moment. She wants a situation.
She's like, here's my love language and here's the math to my heart. Like, don't screw this up. She's giving you a manual.
I think she'll get over it. I think once they get married and they're in, I think she'll... probably loosen up a little bit. I hope so, honey. That is rich people problems.
Yeah, I know, right?
People with money can do all that. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to buy this. People working every day. We ain't got time for that. I got to get the kids. I got to do this and that. Hey, honey, happy anniversary.
We have our five-year anniversary coming up next month, and we're, like, hoping to get a night together. Like, that's like, we're, like, planning a month ahead to be like, maybe we can have one night alone without kids.
But let me ask you a question. Like, you go 5 months or 6 months without one night without kids, wouldn't it be nice to like know that once a month that you're gonna sit down and celebrate each other and like reconnect? Like,
that's true.
And you don't wait for a gift, because a lot of times what I think in relationships happen, and this is just for me, when somebody starts off doing the Laurie Harvey thing where like, you know, we're renting out aquariums and we get you Hermes stocks and we're doing all these things, and then, you know, you get into the relationship, you hit the 7 month mark like Carter did, and you're like, oh, okay, I can stop this. And then your partner says, wait, what happened? We were doing this romantic thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like setting it up where it's, yes, once a month, I'm going to shower you with something simple as a card.
Make it simple,
but you know
right?
it's coming.
Don't overcommit yourself.
Right, I like the way you said that.
I mean, if you guys are, if you're going to be together, I mean, yes, I think doing like a romantic date night and something small, but yeah, don't go big every month. You're going to... I think you're going to burn out and you're going to cause yourself fights and problems in the future because the other person might be over-reading into it when all of a sudden they don't get the 10th yes. layer of planning that you normally put into it because they had a busy month. Maybe work was crazy that month and they didn't have a chance to actually get the aquarium or the rented out theater.
Maybe
you're getting on their nerves that month. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
We're having some problems.
Here comes the 13th, but on the 11th, you pissed me off and you've been sleeping on the couch for two nights. So
I don't care. If I stabbed you on the 11th, we're still going to dinner on the 13th, okay?
That's what you say now.
I'm telling you, I'm worth once a month for a man to come through and shower me. I don't even care if it's just a praise.
But you have to do it also. It's not always about you, but you have to also do the work.
1,000.
Okay.
If you're putting up with me for 29 days on day 30, let's do this. Let's roll with it.
I've been putting up with you a whole lot of times.
You love it.
You have a shower.
And you love it.
How many years have we been in this relationship? 4 years.
And has he given you a card and gifts and showered you?
No.
You're also not sleeping with me, so stop. Gary, don't I come through once a month? Thank you. My man back here.
All right. Well, if it works for them, more power to them.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, after the break, Mandy Moore is a new mother. Well, we just learned about her baby boy. Congratulations.
Oh,
that's next.
Welcome back. It's time for the other big stories making headlines this Wednesday. Start the clock for the Hollywood Minute. Congrats to Mandy Moore and Taylor Goldsmith. Mandy gave birth to their first child, baby Gus, whose full name is August Harrison Goldsmith. Mandy didn't say when he was born, but she said he was punctual. No better way to kick off E's upcoming series, For Real, the story of reality TV, than with the OGs of the genre. The first cast of The Real World sits down with Andy Cohen. In this preview, Eric Nice explains how the show saved his life.
I might have been dead.
What?
There were a lot of wounds that I was suppressing from my childhood, and I was on a self-destructive path. And I started using drugs at a young age. I was able to look at myself and see the things that I didn't like about myself that I wanted to change. So, yeah, in a way, The Real World kind of saved my life.
For Real, the story of reality TV starts next month on E! And we'll be talking to the Real World cast, too. Even Martha Stewart has regrets. Oh, she tells Harper Bazaar out Tuesday, the biggest one is she didn't host Saturday Night Live. Martha says her probation officer wouldn't let her, and it, quote, really pissed me off. Justin, how genius of Martha Stewart on SNL. You think they're gonna give her a call?
Hashtag Stewart on SNL Saturday. Let's do this.
Yes.
That's a long hashtag. I'll think of a shorter one. But I think for sure.
Oh, she would be great.
If they were smart, what they would do is they would get Snoop Dogg to do the guest performance and also get Martha Stewart. And it would be this really cute thing because you know what? Martha Stewart has redeemed herself time and time again.
Absolutely.
She's still funny. She's still holding it down.
She's an icon.
This would be great.
I would love to. And as soon as I saw that headline, I said, oh, they're going to give it to her for sure.
1,000.
Yes. So I'm excited for when that's going to happen. Okay, I have a question. Would you take marriage advice from a divorce lawyer?
All day.
Laura Wasser is handling Kim's divorce from Kanye, and her marriage advice is, it's actually not very romantic, you guys. She told the Wall Street Journal that before getting married, couples need to discuss things like, what will happen to your parents when they get older? Are you going to have kids? And what kind of school should they go to? And how much will you save for retirement each month? And some heavier things as well. She says all those uncomfortable, weird conversations need to be hashed out before marriage. Smart or too heavy?
Smart.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for her book. Did she write a book about it yet?
She does a podcast, and it's amazing.
But I don't have time to take notes. I need a book where I can dog ear it, underline some stuff. Fantastic advice.
By the way, we are both single. Let's play over here. Did you and your husband have those deep conversations before you got married or after you got married? And it's okay if it's after.
Yeah, some of them before, some of them after. Mm-hmm. And some of them have changed, right? Like, our answers before marriage have changed after marriage, right? Like, so, like, for example, school, you know, we're still kind of like, we still don't even know if he's going to go to private or public school.
Right.
Like, we kind of go back and forth on that. Some of the things, like, we weren't super adamant about. As far as, like, what other things? Like, we've changed kind of where we want to live, right. Maybe, like, when we're older. We've changed, like, what kind of investments we want to make. We've, you know, a lot of that stuff. It was good that we had those conversations, but after being together this long...
You have to have them again.
You have to have them again.
It's like every relationship.
That's some good advice
you
right
gotta
there.
Like, you gotta go back in and out.
But the point, sorry, back to that though. The point though that I knew Shannon was like a good fit for me was that, you know, even back then we saw eye to eye on a lot of things, and the things that we saw differently, like we saw where we could compromise, and I think that still holds true today.
Yes.
Like there are still some things that he wants to do that I'm not a big fan of, but that's. You know what? That's really passionate and important to him, and vice versa. We have to give and take because one person can't just rule all the big decisions all in a relationship.
100%. I think you got to have all the conversations.
Yeah.
You do.
Fiance number one. Tim. I didn't have the conversations, and we had this big blow up about a prenup and about his son moving out. It was all the crazy things, and I think some great advice, and I wish I'd have known that prior to.
But I think the thing that Laura left out, or maybe she put it in, I just haven't listened to the whole conversation. I think the thing that Laura really left out that's so important is have these hardcore conversations, but be realistic that you're not going to get your way in 60% of these conversations. So you have to have a list of things that you are not willing to budge on, things that you're willing to budge on, and things that you just don't care about, and your husband or your wife or your partner can make those decisions for you.
100%. I think that's important to have things that you're like, babe, this is you.
Yes.
I'm gonna let you rule the roost on these things because... a lot of conversations otherwise. There's a lot of big events that happen in a marriage.
You're about to make a breakthrough right now. I see it, girl. You're going through it.
All right, you guys. Up next, Soleil Moonfry is here. We're talking motherhood, the return of Punky Brewster, and more. And tomorrow on Daily Pop, we're hanging with the voice coaches. Here's a little preview of what Blake Shelton admitted about his engagement to Gwen Stefani.
She still hasn't gotten me a ring yet. This is ridiculous.
You haven't just picked one out?
No, I am having the greatest year already, and I am engaged to Gwen effing Stefani.
Can you come by Fenster Hall and take some pics of the kids for the foster care website?
Yeah, of course.
There's a new girl there. She reminds me of you. She is cute, but a pain in the butt.
Aww. That's so sweet.
Hey, guys. What was the 80s like?
Oh my gosh, 3 decades since we last laid eyes on her. America's most colorful sweetheart, Punky Brewster, is finally back. Please welcome Soleil Moonfry to Daily Pop.
Oh, I'm so excited and honored to be here with you.
So good to see you.
Yeah, so good to see you.
Look how pretty you. Look you guys.
Oh my God, look how pretty you are. Okay.
Look at how beautiful you both are.
I know Can we talk to her all day?
I know,
please?
I'm looking, I'm, yeah, I know, I know
so
you're very excited. You're
so gorgeous.
Thank you.
And it's the best way to start the day.
Well, how gorgeous are you gonna be on your show? I mean, you're the grown up now. What are you gonna be wearing? You know, that's everyone's burning question, of course.
Punky is getting her groove back, for sure. It's like she's rediscovering her punky power, and I feel like as Soleil, I'm also rediscovering my punky power and Soleil power, so it's as if we're both coming of age all over again.
I can only imagine how many times you were asked over the years, are you going to return Punky Brewster? Are you going to return Punky Brewster? And then now it's happening. You know, what made it feel like the right time now?
It is such a dream come true. I have always wanted to bring Punky back, and I feel like the world can use some Punky power now more than ever.
Yeah.
And it's Punky is so close to my heart. Like, we are so the same in so many ways. And I am so full of gratitude and love. And the way that the universe has worked for it to come back now is so wonderful. And it really feels like a continuation. And I'm so proud and grateful and honored and humbled to be able to share it with the world.
Oh, well, good. Speaking of sharing, you're a real mother with 4 kids. What do your kids think about the show?
They have been so supportive and wonderful. You know, it's so funny. They keep saying, Mom, are there hidden cameras in the house? Because so many of the things that they're dealing with in the show that you guys are going through are things that are happening in our life. Wow. So are they listening to us?
That's
and
awesome.
It's kind of like that life imitating art or art imitating life thing, you know, where it's like there's just so many similarities. Which makes me so happy because it also, it really shows me that it was so important to stay true to the original and the authenticity of the original. And that makes me feel so good because I really hope that families can have conversations about the things that we're talking about in the show and that they can connect to it and really watch it together and that it opens up dialogues. And I think the original Punky did that so beautifully. And I really hope that it is reaching that amazing generation that grew up with us and the next generation.
Yeah, and you've got some big names in there. You got Punky's BFF, played by Sherry Johnson. She's back. And then Freddie Prinze Jr. is playing Punky's ex-husband. Yeah. Any other cast surprises you can tell us about?
There are so many surprises. We have the most amazing cast of kids that are just so wonderful. And really, you know, Cherry and I were saying that for us, you know, this is not just a show. These are not just characters. This is really who we are. You know, we really are best friends in life.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
It feels so honest, and we have amazing guest stars, friends like Seth Green, and my daughter Jagger is making
that's
a
so
guest appearance.
Oh, how did that feel as a mom?
It was incredible, and it's such a fun episode, and it's so wonderful to be able to really bring this back to life and to be able to connect with people, because I always loved when people would come up and call me Punky. I was like, if I'm 100, you know, if I'm 88 years old and they're still calling me Punky, I'll be great with it, because Punky was such an incredible part of my heart and soul and so much of who I am. And so I just feel so much gratitude. I mean, I think every day that I went to set, I was just in tears of true gratitude and joy. And I mean that in all sincerity.
Well, Punky has legendary style, and we're going to play a little bit of a game here, because a few celebrities have tried to copy her look. So we're going to show you a few and see if you can guess the Punky imposters. All right, take a look at this. And what celebrity
do you think? Punky inspired?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So who do you think this is?
At Katy Perry.
Very good.
Wow! I feel like I just won like the lottery.
We got more. What about this one?
Oh, goodness. I don't know.
That's a good one.
She's engaged to Blake Shelton.
Gwen!
Yes,
Gwen!
That's Gwen. Okay.
Thank you for your.
And then here's a different spin on Punky. This is a man.
The amazing Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
One of my all-time favorite pictures that is like the gift that keeps giving.
I love the Punky power he has.
Oh, my God.
So, like, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And please tune in to Punky Brewster.
Yes.
Pika.
And Soleil also has a documentary called Kid 90 debuting March 12th on Hulu. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And you guys can see the brand new Punky.
25th, we're all tuning in together.
There you go. 100% on Peacock starting tomorrow. Thank you so much. If you guys don't have Peacock
yet. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Get out your guys' phone. You can scan that QR code on your screen and sign up. And if you do it through our code, you may make a commission. So, Lay, we will see you soon. Bye, Punky.
Thank you.
The original.
Wonderful seeing you guys.
I love it.
Look at it.
All right, coming up, Kaley Cuoco's Beauty Secrets. Her makeup artist is showing us how to pull off her red carpet look. That is next. All eyes will be on Kaley Cuoco Sunday at the Golden Globes. Her makeup artist is going to share her secrets to looking flawless. Watch.
Hi guys, it's Jamie Greenberg, celebrity makeup artist. I am working with Kaley Cuoco for the Golden Globes this year, and I'm throwing it back today. 2 years ago, when I did Kaley Cuoco when she was presenting in 2019, so I'm just gonna go over how I got her look. So let's get to it. Okay, so the first thing we're doing is we're taking this amazing brow lift and we are gonna fill it in. This is literally, it's slanted, so you can draw the hairs right here and just kind of slowly go back and forth. And then you can turn it and fill in the shape of the brow. Now we have this iconic luxury palette. So this I'm using is like a little highlight right here. Just kind of blending it back and forth to create a little bit of definition in the brow. And then to brighten up right here, just a little pop. So if you want to make your eye whites look a little bit brighter and your eyes look a little bit wider, what you can do is take the eye cheek and stick it on your lower water rim, and it's just going to kind of open everything up, make it look brighter. Now, the opposite effect, we're going to take the Kohl liner, and I'm going to fill in the lash line like this, the upper lash line. So up here is where we would normally get the cat eye. So I'm breaking the rules, but Charlotte has a great lip brush. I've been using it as a brush to create your actual cat eye because it's so flat. So I'll just do this little cat eye and just follow the way this goes, put it down. So now I'm gonna take this feline, the flick right here, and I'm gonna just copy that line. And there it is. We're gonna go to the lips. And then last but not least, I'm gonna just apply the luster, the Hall of Fame luster on top. And there it is. I mean, there you have it.
Wow. All right, for more tips on beauty and makeup, you can find Jamie on Instagram at Jamie Makeup. Now, we've got the Globes covered this weekend, Saturday. Join us for a special Daily Pop Golden Globes edition at 11 a.m. Then on Sunday, it's the Golden Globe Awards on NBC, kicking off at 7 Eastern. And we will have coverage all day here on E! Starting at 4 o'clock Eastern. All right, still ahead, Kevin Bacon's banana hack. Does it work? We're testing it out next. All right, Kevin Bacon has a hack. We're debating if we think it's cool or not. To slice bananas without letting them get brown, he does this for his wife, Kira Sedgwick. Watch.
So what I do is I just use this needle and thread. Just through like that.
I mean,
somebody, y'all, check on your elders.
Stop
y'all
saying that.
Y'all need to call this, Kevin Bacon and do a wellness check.
All right,
let's go.
I'm ready to do it.
I want to first thank Kira. Okay, wait a minute. Kevin and Kira, they came to my comedy show, him and his wife, on Saturday at the Magic Castle. So thank you, Kevin.
So what I'm doing, because I'm not listening to Kevin, because I don't understand his method. It seems like it takes a long time.
Okay.
Is I'm just poking and just moving the needle right and left and seeing if that works. So this could be cool. This is a good trick for a toddler. Like, I can see Chase getting a kick out of this.
Okay, now I feel like I'm sewing my clothes.
I know. I'm going to open it and see what happens.
I went to college twice, so I'm not about to waste my time doing that banana hack.
Okay? Oh, I got him. There we go. Kind of worked.
Okay.
Kevin, you're very sweet. But look, this is the one I tried to do with Kevin, and that didn't work, so I didn't figure out that one.
Carissa ain't got time to
be fine
to go to dinner with her man. You think she has time to slice a banana like that, Kevin Bacon?
I don't get it. It took 2 seconds to slice a banana.
Oh, am I supposed to pull the string out?
Pull the string down.
Oh, wait. Look. Yeah. Oh, pull the string out. Okay. Justin.
We don't understand Kevin Bacon.
We don't understand.
But you know what? You're a sweet husband. That's the point.
That's what you are.
Tomorrow, brand new interview with the voice coaches. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.